All right, you ever walk into, when you enter a situation, you have a sense of familiarity, so you immediately know when something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a book that I read, I don't know if any of you have ever read it, called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. Anybody read that book? It's a really, really fascinating book about how people, when they have a certain level of expertise in a certain area, then when they encounter something that's off in that area, they don't know why, but they can immediately sense it.
Like a woman can see every single thing in her house if it's out of place or been changed or polished or anything.
Or let's say it this way, an accountant who can look at a tax return and know something's not right about this.
Yeah.
You could, couldn't you? If you, you see, and you'll see the numbers are wrong.
And the balance sheet's off. I see right away. Without 2 seconds, that the balance sheet's off.
Right, but I would look at it, and the numbers look like numbers to me. They don't really look like anything. And so there's a when you have that kind of knowledge, expertise, you see that something's off. And so what I want to do is I want to show you how in this week's parsha something is off, something's wrong. And you see it almost immediately. I'm going to bring a normal chair. You see it almost immediately, and when you notice it, and then when you notice it, you'll start to realize, and you have to ask yourself, why? What's wrong? And why is this off? And then how do we answer the question of what's the Torah trying to do, and how do we make it right? And then obviously for us, what lessons can we learn from what the Torah is trying to communicate to us? Okay, so now in order to sort of do that, I want us to take you back to the end of last week's parsha and the beginning of last week's parsha, and we'll see how the beginning of this week's parsha really doesn't fit into the mold at all of what's going on in the parsha. So just turn to the very beginning of Parsha Truma for a moment, just from last week. Perek Chaf. Hey, I don't want to park up pasuk. Hey, I want pasuk. Yud. Pasuk Yud, chapter 25, verse 10. Says the Torah. And we're just going to look very briefly. Ve'asu Aron. We did this last week, of course. Ve'asu Aron atzei shikim. We have more chumashim if you're interested. There's plenty. Okay, and you shall make an Aron of atzei shikim, amatayim b'chitzi arko, amah b'chitzi kamato. Okay, so the commandment, I want to look at the form. The commandment is ve'asu, and you shall make. Let's skip a little bit to the next one. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. A lot of skipping. Ve'asita kaporet zahav tahor. And you shall make a kaporet. Now who is Hashem talking to? Who's the you?
Moshe.
We're talking to Moshe. How did it all begin? When he began talking to Moshe? Vasu, Vasita. But how do we know he's talking to Moshe? Where is it? Right? The beginning of the parasha. The beginning of, I'll just read it for you, since you don't have to. The beginning of chapter Chafei is, Vayda ber Hashem el Moshe limor. Very nice. Hashem said to Moshe, etc., etc., etc. Continue. Okay, now let's look at the very end of Parsha Truma. Perek Chaf Zayin. Okay, just to see where we are. Perek Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Tet. Chapter 27, verse 9. And you shall make the courtyard of the Mishkan, this corner, that corner. Is that within our parameter so far? Are we still okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Very good. Very nice. Okay? Let's skip a little bit. Okay? And skip into Parsha Tetzaveh. To Perek Chafchet, Pasuk Vav. Perek Chafchet, verse 28, verse 6. Chapter 28, verse 6. Oh, wait a second. I'm flying fast.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to show a pattern. I don't want to spend too much time doing this. Chapter 28, verse 6. You see it? Right here. Ve'asu et ha'efod. Zahav, techelet, ve'argaman, tolat, shani, v'sheish, mazar. You should make the efod, the breastplate. Now we've moved into the big day, kehuna. Does this fit our pattern in some way, shape, or form?
Sure.
Yeah, very good. Let's just do one more. Okay? Skip to the next vessel, which is chapter Yud Gimel. Very good. Yud Gimel, verse 13. One more page. Next, ve'asita mishpatzot zahav. You should make the mishpatzot, these corner things, or whatever, the shoulder straps.
But aren't they like
shoulder pads?
Yeah, like
whatever. Okay. Is that fit in the? Does that fit in?
Yep.
Very nice. Viasita, viasita, viasu, viasita. All very good. Except what did I, of course, do?
I skipped.
What did I skip? The beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh. Okay, now go back to the beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh. You need to, in order to really get a sense of what's wrong, right? Did you ever play that game? You know, I don't know. Do they have that in... When I grew up...
Like
yeah, was it on Sesame Street? Was it on Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the... Do they still have that on Sesame Street?
They have a new Sesame Street.
You didn't have Sesame Street?
We had Takalani Sesame Street.
And they don't do one of these things is not like the other?
It's not like the other.
One of these things is not like the other. That was like a classic. Okay.
And yes, it's modern.
Okay.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah, I know, it's like a modern show. You wouldn't want to watch it. Okay. How does the parasha begin? Ve'ata tetzaveh et b'nei Yisrael. Ve'ata?
Yeah.
Ve'ata. Translated correctly. And you. Israel, command the children of Israel. V'ikhu elecha, and they shall bring to you shemen zayit zach katit lamaor la'alot ner tamid. Right, shemen zayit zach, nice, pure shemen zayit, crushed for burning, to bring up the ner tamid, to light the ner tamid. Be'ohel moed michutz la'parochet, in the ohel moed, outside the parochet, asher al ha'idut, that's on the edut, yarochoto, Aaron uvanav me'ered b'boker lifnei Hashem. Aaron and his sons should ayaroch orech, shulchan orech, right? Should set it up from night till morning before God. Chukat olam ledarotechem mi'et b'nei Yisrael. So what immediately grabs your attention? What immediately grabbed my attention? Anyone? What?
First of all, chu elecha. It's the first time that. B'nai Yisrael is instructed to bring something. The rest of the time it's just Vasita, Vasita.
Well, look at the beginning of Truma. Debera B'nai Yisrael v'yikhu li Truma. Right? Tikhu et Trumati. So that fits. What's the one thing that does not fit at all?
The eternality.
Yes,
the Dorotam. Oh, I'm not going there. What am I going at? Ve'ata. What is Ve'ata? Ve'ata. What does Ve'ata mean?
Hey you.
Hey you. Right? What should it say? V'atem? Correct. V'yidaber Hashem v'moshe l'emor. Right? Tzav et b'nei Yisrael. We never have this. V'ata tetzaveh. We always have, hard to think about Parsha Tzav. V'yidaber Hashem v'moshe l'emor. Tzav et b'nei Yisrael. Right? Command the Jewish people. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Here it's V'ata tetzaveh et b'nei Yisrael. And if that wasn't enough for you, right, so you say, okay, well, that was just an anomaly, whatever. Hashem was talking to Moshe. They were, you know, hey, you, whatever. Very good. Look at the next verse. Chavchet. Ve'ata. Right? Ve'ata. And you. Hakreve lecha et Aaron achicha. Right? Bring to you Aaron, your brother. Ve'ed bana vito, and his children. Mitoch v'nei Yisrael lecha hanoli. From the Jewish people to be a Kohen. Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Itamar, B'nei Aaron. Ve'asita, Bigde Kodesh la'Aaron Achicha, and you shall make holy vestments for your brother Aaron, Lechavod u'Letifaret. Very interesting words. For glory and honor. Next word. Ve'ata. Tedaber kol chachmei lev, asher miletiv ruach chachma. And you should speak to Aaron, right? You should speak to all the wise people, the smart people, the talented people that are filled with this Ruach Chachma. V'asu et bigdei Aaron l'kadsho l'cha anoli. Etc., etc. And then we go on to the, and then, like, you know, and then what do we do after that? Go back to Pasuk Vav. V'asu. We're back to the normal Everybody see what am I successfully communicating to you what I'm trying to show you? When you're looking at the text, right, you're going along, everything's great. Ve'asu, all right, ve'asita, fine, ve'asu, ve'asita, and all of a sudden, hey you, ve'ata. Right, when Rina's gonna finish, when we're gonna finish this year, Rina's gonna break out her Tanakh and she's gonna like do the asu, 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 and then put like little squares around the ata. Is it?
Not the
atah,
but the asu.
The asu is already there. Okay, so now you got to square the atahs, right? The atahs, they just call out to you. Okay, when, if I say to you, you, if I say to you, what do you expect me to say instead of you?
Devorah.
Right. Isn't that strange?
Doesn't you show more familiarity?
Does it?
No, your name is just a personal relationship.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So, what's missing? What's missing?
Personal.
Well, let's answer the question first. What's missing? What's that? Covered for? Who is?
He's also making
Moshe. What's that?
Moshe.
Moshe. What's missing? And if you'll notice, Chazal noticed this. What's missing is Moshe. Not only is Moshe missing.
They want to specifically talk to Moshe. They want to talk to whoever the you is that's reading it.
Except he's giving very specific commands. Ve'ata and you to tzaveh b'nei Israel. If you look at the next ve'ata, ve'ata pasuk perek chafchet verse 28. Sorry, chapter 28. Ve'ata and you hakrev elecha et Aharon achicha. My brother's name is not Aharon. Right? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
No, but
it's even stranger.
But it indicates that even a part of the Torah, maybe just looking at the big picture, even a part of the Torah that you would think would have no personal relevance to you, that the use of the word atah indicates that every part of the Torah has personal relevance to you.
Okay. Very nice.
Just even if it looks like it doesn't, because you don't have a brother named Aaron, it's something that you can get from.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody know where the parallel section of this beginning of the parsha is? There's almost an almost identical section to this section of the menorah.
In Bahalata.
Good, very good. Let me read to you a very very similar section.
But this isn't talking about.
Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Daber el Aharon ve'amarta elav ve'ahalotcha el hanerot et hanerot. El mul paneha menorah ya'iru shivat ha-menerot. Those are, you understand? Like, it's almost an identical section, but totally different. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hey Moshe, speak to Aaron your brother. And here, what do you have? Ve'ata. And you. So now I'm just pointing this out because I want to show you that I'm going to read for you a midrash. I'm going to read for you first the Baal HaTurim, I'll show you, and then I'll read you the Midrash based on the Baal HaTurim, to show you that this is what the Chazal were troubled with. It wasn't just that they were...
By the way,
what?
The Baal HaTurim is based on the Midrash.
I'm going to read you a Baal HaTurim and then show you a Midrash. What I say?
That's based on the Baal HaTurim.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to read you a Midrash on which the Baal HaTurim is based. Thank you. Okay. And I may think I made that mistake last week too. Yeah, somebody pointed it out. I can't imagine who. Okay. And I want to show you that Chazal, Midrash doesn't just come out of the air. You know, I often like to say that, you know how there's this book called The Midrash Says? I want to write a book called The Midrash Reads. Because you'll notice that Midrashim are very, very text sensitive. It's not just some story that Midrash made up. You know, we often, we're taught Midrashim. Oh yeah, the Midrash says this story. No, Midrash is very, very clued in to what's going on in the Chumash. And Chazal were very clued into it, and they came up with many of their Pirushim because of that. So, and now that you've seen this, you're able to say, hey, that doesn't make sense. Moshe's missing. And Chazal noticed, not only is Moshe missing here, Moshe's name does not appear in the entire Parsha. So you say, well, whoop-dee-doo, who picked the Parshiot? Who picked the Parshiot? No. The Christians picked the Prakim. The Christians divide up, right, the Anshe Knesset Gedola divided up the Parshiot in Parshat Tetzaveh. And it's interesting they cut it off before Ki Tisah. But okay. What they're really showing is that Moshe is missing here, conspicuously absent. And he's absent in a way that you would expect him to appear. He appears in other places in the Torah in the same context. He appears in the same language. He appears in the previous Parsha. He appears in the subsequent Parsha. He's just missing here. Why is he missing? Now, what would you say before we read the Chazal's answer? What would you suggest is the reason that Moshe is conspicuously absent here? I think there's a very straightforward reason.
Moshe's children don't become the Kohanim.
Ah, excellent. Wow. And therefore?
Therefore, Moshe is out of the picture. He's just the one that's passing it on to them.
Okay, good. Moshe's not going to be a Kohen.
He was supposed to be a Kohen.
Wow. Well, says who?
Moshe was supposed to be a Kohen.
Okay. So why? And then you're absolutely right. I agree with you totally. So then that raises another question. That raises another question, which is?
Why not?
Why not? So I'm saying the simple answer could be, very straightforwardly, why is Moshe not mentioned? Because there's a problem. What? What, Bryce? His brother. The problem is anytime Moshe's like that, you know, that guy in the room. You know, anytime he's there, it doesn't matter who else is next to him. Right? It's just Moshe and everybody else. There was once a very, very well-known rabbi who wrote many books, very big scholar, synagogue rabbi, and I always felt bad for him. Because no matter what he did, his brother was famous as a more famous rabbi. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to say his name because it's not fair.
I know in the Reform.
No, in the Orthodox. In the Orthodox. You know, and no matter what he did, he was always known as, oh, you're the brother of... Right, Rabbi so-and-so. This guy wrote books, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not fair. It's just not fair. So, in a sense, if you say, Daber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Daber el Aron Achicha, like what? You know, come on, give him at least, like, you know, 5 sukkim on his own where he gets to be Aaron the Kohen. But it behooves the question. If Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen, why is he not the Kohen? Why did he not become the Kohen? And there are a number of answers we're going to come up with, a couple of them, and in the end we'll come up with a message that's very, very strong for us. I think extremely strong, of a powerful lesson for each of us. Look first at the Baal HaTurim on, if you have it, it's on in this crazy Chumash, on page Tav Resh Ayin Bet. Baal HaTurim on Pasuk Aleph. On Pasuk Chaf, excuse me, the very beginning of the Parsha. Do you have the Baal HaTurim in that one? Oh, good. If you have Baal HaTurim, it's on the very beginning of the parasha. Okay? You get Baal HaTurim? You don't have it? No. Okay. Is it in that one? In that Malbim one? I don't think it's in there. Is it in there? Oh, it is. Very good. Baal HaTurim? Very nice. Baal HaTurim, just, it's on Tav Resh Ayin Bet. It's on the left hand, on the right hand side. In that Chumash, on Tav Resh Ayin Bet. Okay, just for our historical context, Baal HaTurim, it's good to know, is written by Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim. Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim is the author of the Tur. The Tur was the first major halachic work that divided the halacha into the way that we know it. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch is written, or Chaim, right, Yeridea, it's divided into 4 Turim, 4 major pillars. That's because it was made up by this guy, Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim. Just for your own personal information, he was the son of a man named Rabbeinu Asher Bar Yechiel. He's Rabbi Yaakov Ben Harash. And he lived in?
France.
Spain. Good guess. Okay. What?
Europe.
That's where? Your shipment is?
I live in Twente to Venice.
Oh. Also, when he said it went to the wrong port,
I know, really. It's not like, you know, it's not like luggage where they read the tag wrong and then, you know, the guy put it on the wrong, you know, conveyor belt.
I guess it is.
Yeah. Says Rabbi Yaakov. So, and the Baal HaTurim is almost always based on Midrashim. Almost always. In fact, always. And what's nice about the Baal HaTurim also is he likes to give you gematrias, like fun little gematrias. So it's always very cute and he's trying to tell you something. The Atat Tzaveh, says the Baal HaTurim. Lo hizkir Moshe b'zeh ha-seder. He immediately points out, Moshe does not appear b'zeh ha-seder in this week's parasha at all. Masha'ein kein b'chol ha-chumash, something that is not true of the rest of the Chumash, Shemisha'ah shenolad Moshe, Ein Seder Shelo Huzkarba. There is no parsha other than this from the birth of Moshe, from Sefer Shemot on, in which Moshe is not mentioned. So that obviously, you know, that obviously is a question, and the question is, why not? The Hatam, and the reason is, Mishum She'amar, because Moshe said, Mechenina misifracha asher katavta. You might be familiar with this midrash. Moshe said, God, erase me from your book that you wrote. V'kilalat chacham afilo al tenai ba'a. And when a chacham makes a curse, even on condition, it comes true. V'nitkayem bazeh. Let's stop here. What's going on? Yes?
I'm just going to say, the part that was referred to is not Midrash. That's the part. That's in the Torah.
Right.
I'm just saying the Midrash that said that because of this.
It is based entirely on a Midrash. Again, I'm going back to my highly recommended Otsar HaMidrashim book, which is unbelievable. Okay, the Midrash says the following. Here we are. It says the Midrash. Midrash Agadah. V'lama lo izkir shmo shel Moshe kan u'b'chol ha'parsha. Midrash asks the exact same question. Where's Moshe? Why isn't he mentioned? V'fi shemoshe amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Moshe said before God, Amechilat ha'egel davara. What did Moshe say? So let's hold our place here. Turn back to, ahead to chapter 32, verse 32. You have to see it inside. Chapter 32, verse 32. Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Bet. This is the height of like as bad as it can get. Okay? And the Chet HaEgel has to be, the Chet HaEgel has to be studied intensely. We don't have time to do it. It says 32. We go back to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayashev Moshe El Hashem. You have it? Perek Lamed. Lamed. Here we are. Right here. Right there. Vayashev Moshe El Hashem. Moshe goes down. He throws the luchot, or drops them, whatever. Destroys the egel. Grinds it up. They kill 6,000 Jews. And now Moshe's got to go back to God and talk to him. Like, what do you say? What do you say? Oops. Yeah, we're sorry. We made a mistake. Vayashav Moshe El Hashem. Moshe comes back to Hashem by Yomar, and he says, "Ana Hashem, Ana." What does Ana mean?
Please.
I don't even know what Ana means. Like, please. Ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola. Ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola. Vayasu lehem Elohei Zahav. This nation, they made a big mistake. And they made a golden god for them. Oops. V'ata, and now, im tisa chatatam, if you tisa,
carry,
overlook their sin, v'im ayin, by the way, if, what's wrong with that?
She doesn't say then what?
Yeah. Im tisa chatatam, if you take their sin, what's the implication?
Then we can move on.
Right. Then we can move on.
Let's get past this.
Ve'im ayin, and if not, mecheni na misifrecha asher katavta. It just cut me out of the book. I don't want to be a part of it either. And God, it's me and them. No, it's me and them. Yes. He says, there's no such thing as destroy them and build a nation out of me. If you take me, great. And if not, I don't want to.
We're out.
I'm out.
Doesn't that almost not threatening? It's like giving him an ultimatum. You don't give an ultimatum. You know, it's giving an ultimatum. It's aggressive.
Yeah. Really, really aggressive. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I mean, Moshe, you're great. You're amazing. I love you. But who do you think you are? You're threatening me? You know, but by the way, listen to what Hashem says. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. I will cut out whoever has sinned to me. I mean, what's God's answer to Moshe?
It's not your place to decide.
It's not your place.
What? Checkmate. Right.
You don't do what I told you to do, and
yeah, don't tell me what to do.
Don't tell me what to do. But even more than that. Mi asher chatali emchenu misifri. Hashem does not.
Not all of them.
Moshe says to Hashem, if you cut them out, you cut me out. So what should Hashem say?
Okay.
okay, Moshe, you're right. I won't cut you out. I won't cut them out.
Whoever sins, if you've sinned as well, then...
Oh, that's exactly right. What does he say?
Answering very...
Cryptically.
Cutting some of them out, not all of them.
Well, he's saying you too.
If you've sinned,
you too will also be cut out.
If you sin, if you have sinned, if you will sin, which one?
Whoever does.
Whoever has sinned.
Whoever does.
So it's... In the past. It doesn't say whoever...
I mean, Moshe says, I don't want to... So now, okay, now let's go back to our Midrash. Very, very fascinating. The Midrash says, Moshe got cut out of, not the whole book, but part of the book. What's the implication?
For what he said here?
What? Is it for what he said here?
Chazal clearly understood that what Moshe said was somewhat inappropriate. You know what I'm saying? That... Who are you to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam? And therefore, in the language of Chazal, they say, "Kilalat chacham afilu al tenai hi ba'a." Right, the curse of the chacham, even al tenai, on condition. Moshe says, "If I sin to you, then you should cut me out of your book." And so Hashem says,
"You just, yeah."
No. Hashem says, in the Midrash's words, Hashem says, "Don't say things that you don't want to come true." And this is, by the way, it's a general rule. We say. Remember what Yaakov. I mean, this is a theme in general. Yaakov says about Rachel, whoever stole your trafim should be, you know, they should die. And he didn't know that it was Rachel. We often say. I think there's a general rule that we try to follow. Don't say things that you don't want to happen, even if you're saying them. The way we say it, al tanai. If you do this, I will. Never say I will something that you don't really mean. You know, and I think that's, by the way, that's again a good general rule. I mean, in parenting, you know, very often it's also your tone. I have at times when I'm really angry and cannot think of anything that will be effective, I will say to my children, if you don't get down here, I will do absolutely nothing right now. You know, and then they realize, what did you say? You know, right? Because I'd rather do that than threaten something I'm just not going to follow through on. But I digress.
That's my job.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the Midrash's sense, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said something, Mechenina, okay, you asked for it. But I think there's also a sense of rebuke as well. You should not have spoken that way. You should. I mean, it's not your place to say the Ribbono Shel Olam if you forgive them or not. I'm out of here. He is the Ribbono Shel Olam. What right do you have to say? But what I want to point out is very, very fascinatingly, this is the first of a number of allusions to something that apparently hasn't happened yet, which is Cheder Egel. What is Cheder Egel doing here?
Wait, what do you mean? This conversation happens after Cheder
Egel. But Parsha Tetzaveh happens before Cheder
Egel. It's like Moshe's being punished before it actually happens.
Right.
You're saying the taking out of the name in the state of the Parsha is before the...
Before...
It is before...
Except that Moshe wasn't given the Torah. Right before the Egel, and then when were they commanded to fulfill the Mishnah?
Right, this is a very, very complicated... What's that? Who talks about the Egel? In the scroll?
No, he's saying that the Egel did happen. Yeah. This conversation is related to the Egel.
Yeah. Right. There's only one problem. I asked you to look ahead, right? You know, the story of the Egel in the Torah does not appear until next week's Parsha. And here already we're seeing allusions. Moshe's cut out of the Parsha before that of the Cheder Egel. Right. In order for Chazal to say that, what must they also feel?
That there's no, that it's not necessarily...
Correct. And they must feel, the Chazal who make this association must feel, that this section of the Torah was given chronologically after the Cheder Egel, which then only behooves the question, why was it written before? The Parshanim deal with this question also. Well, if the whole Mishkan was given after the Cheder Egel, why was it written before? Which we're not going to deal with. But nonetheless, it's a very important question as well. I want to show you a couple of other allusions or references to the Cheder Egel, and then we'll go back to the end of the Baal HaTurim. So we're stuck with this question of why was Moshe not mentioned this week's Parsha? Reason number one that we gave, the simple reason was, well, because it's Kohen, it's Aaron. You don't want to detract from him. Okay? Reason number two, Baal HaTurim gave, alluding to the Midrash, was because Moshe Rabbeinu sinned in some way. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, mention me, don't mention me in your book. Hashem said, okay, I'm not going to mention you in my book. But it was in reference to Chet HaEgel. We're going to take that a little bit deeper in a few minutes. So let's read on the rest of the Baal HaTurim. Okay? Furthermore, Dizu HaParasha, I'm in the Baal HaTurim, I'm reading a little more. Dizu HaParasha medaberet v'tachsisei kehuna. This parasha is talking about the tachsisei kehuna, the vestments of the kehuna. Umi Moshe haitah kehuna hagdola latzeit. That's what Yael said. Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Ela, rather, so then why wasn't he? Al yedesh tzirev leilech b'shlichut hamakom, nitla mimenu v'natna la'aharon. Moshe was supposed to be Kohen Gadol, but why wasn't he Kohen Gadol? Because God told him to do something and he didn't do it. So therefore, it was taken away from him. Lachen lo nizkar shmo shel Moshe beparasha zo mipnei agmat nafsho. In order, it's the opposite.
Not to put it in his face.
Not to put it in his face.
But he lost it.
He lost it. Why did he lose it? Remember, Hashem says to Moshe, let's go back to the burning bush. Moshe's standing at the burning bush, and Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I want you to go deliver the Jewish people. And Moshe says, me? Who am I? Hashem says, you're it. You're the man. Finally, at the very end, Hashem explains to Moshe why he's the guy to do the job. What does Moshe say at the very end? Even at the very, very end, Shnach, Shlach, Na, Biyad, Tishlach. You're right, I'm the man to do it. Shlach, Na, Biyad, Tishlach means, I don't care, I still don't want to do it. And what does Hashem say? Okay, I'll send Aaron to be, Aaron, Akoin, Aaron, Achicha, Yed, Neviyecha. What the Midrash says is that in Moshe's desire or refusal to take the responsibility, he lost it. That's it. Not only did he lose, he still is Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to go, but you can't be the Kohen anymore. Now, by the way, something you mentioned before, we're going to talk about this in a bit. If Moshe lost the Kahuna, what does the Kahuna have that being Moshe Rabbeinu does not have? Very important thing. Almost the most. What's that? What's that? Correct. Right. When you're the Kohen, your children are Kohanim. It says Aharon and Banav Ito, his children with him. Right. You could be Moshe Rabbeinu, you could be the greatest teacher in the history of mankind, but there's no guarantee for your children. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you get to be Aharon, no matter how good or not good you are, you're still Aharon. And no matter how good or not good your children are, they still get to be Kohanim. Right. There's a certain benefit in that, in being a Kohen, that you don't get in being Moshe. And so in a sense, Moshe lost out on that. Now I want to show you, so that's what the Baal HaTurim says. It's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned, not to punish him, but a sense of compassion, not to put it in his face. He knows now. You know, that's why Hashem says, V'ata, and you. It's almost like sensitive. You should give to Aaron, your brother. So why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu refused. I want to show you a couple of other...
It doesn't discount the punishment thing. It's trying to sort of why this parsha of all the parshiot was chosen to not have Moshe's name in it. In other words, they don't contradict each other. Moshe still could have been punished by not being included.
It's not just him that's being punished. But it's his future.
You're really not going to like what Ibn Ezra says. And it's not fair, but you have to see it anyway. Ibn Ezra on Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ata. Says Ibn Ezra, "Ba'avur hayot Moshe Kohen Kohanim batchila." Because huh? Ibn Ezra, you see where I am?
No.
Ibn Ezra on Aleph, a Chavchet.
Aleph.
Oh, I said Aleph.
We're looking in Chavvayin.
Oh, sorry, Chavchet Aleph. Says Ibn Ezra, "Ve'ata ba'avur hayot Moshe Kohen Kohanim batchila." Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen of the Kohanim, right? He was the priest of the priest. Al kein ta'am hakarev elecha, bring to you. Here we are. Ukvar ramazti lecha, I have hinted to you. Lama nivchar Aharon mahaktisho l'Hashem? Why was Aharon picked? Ba'avor kvod nishpachat Nachshon, because of the honor of the family of Nachshon. Shehayiyu hakohanim mechaprim al b'nei Yisrael. The kohanim should be atoning for the children of Israel. V'ein ledaber al Moshe Adonenu, can't complain about Moshe, ki borech haya, he was running away. Umi yiten lo ivrit. Anybody know what that means?
He's going to give him a Jewish girl to marry.
Correct. What's the difference between Aaron and Moshe? Why could Moshe not be the Kohen Gadol and Aaron had to be? Aaron's wife was from the family of Nachshon, a very good Yiddish family, great Yichus. Moshe's wife was?
A Midianite.
Can't have his children be, if it's going to be hereditary, if the Kahuna is hereditary, Moshe can't have it. Because his wife is a Midianite.
But that raises the question, he could never have it from the beginning anyway. So why create the assumption that he ever could?
No, but this is after.
Ideologically, practically, who's the best person to be the Kohen Gadol?
Moshe.
Isn't he? I mean, he's
qualified before he got married.
Well, that's he didn't like,
but he didn't if his sin was by refusing to go.
According to this shot, according to Ibn Ezra, just forget the Midrashim. Just practically, technically, couldn't be him.
So why do you punish him for something that he wasn't going to get?
Not a punishment. He says it's not a punishment. It's just reality. Now, what you're saying is, just in the very beginning, from the very way he was born, he never could have been a Kohen Gadol. True. It's all connected.
No, not from the way he was born.
No, I'm saying, but the way, yes, it was. From the way he ran away, from the way, you know, he
but
was.
But he refused the refused the shakud after he ran away.
Right. I mean, but from the very fact that his wife was a Midianite, and he had to run away to Midian.
At that stage, because he'd lost it anyway.
He lost it. Right.
So
it's not a punishment. It's just a reality.
Not logical.
Okay. Now what?
Why is Hashem bringing it now?
Ah, okay. So the Midrash says, very interesting. The Midrash says, I think the Midrash is definitely bringing it back to this idea, the notion of the Chet HaEgel. There's this notion, and let's take it a little bit further. Read on what the Ibn Ezra says, and I think we'll try to bring all these things a little bit closer together. Says the Ibn Ezra, V'od, moreover, Ki Torah Kol Yisrael al Moshe Lelamdam HaMitzvot. Moshe was busy. He had the burden of.
You can't lead and be running the
Beit HaMikdash. One second. Ladun kol davar kashe. It's more than that. What is ladun kol davar kashe?
To judge
every difficult idea. The roles, and this is where it's very important. The roles of Kohen and the roles of Moshe are extremely different. The role of being the leader is to accept the burden of the people upon yourself. And what does it mean, ladun kol davar kashe? Ladun kol davar kashe?
To judge
who? To judge the Jewish people. When what?
When things are not so good.
But you can see it one of two ways. Well, two people are arguing with each other. Right? You say, I decide in favor of you, or decide in favor of you. Right, a conflict of interest. But let's say not look at it as a judge in a tort case, but look at it as a leader when he has to look at his people when there's a Chet HaEgel, and what does he have to do to them?
He has to
mete out justice. He has to be the leader. He has to come down hard on them. He's got to tell them what they did wrong. He's got to smash them. He's got to bring them back. That's the job of a leader sometimes. What's the job of the Kohen? Correct. Job of the Kohen is the entire exact opposite of those two things, of that thing. The job of the leader is to tell them, you were wrong.
To rebuke
them, to lead them, to instruct them. The job of the Kohen is to console them, is to atone for them, is to comfort them, is to bring them back to tshuva. You can't have both. That's the second part of the Ibn Ezra. You just can't do both. You can't be the leader and also the friend. You know, I write sometimes about different things, and one of the things I wrote about recently is I heard a shiur from Rabbi Jacob J. Schechter, an old shiur on yutorah.org, very highly recommended, on facing the truth of history. And one of the things that he talks about is this idea that of gedolim, you know, of like there's a certain trend in Jewish literature to sort of lionize and idealize our gedolim. We call it hagiography. Hagiography means when you make people into like angels, in a sense. That this Gadol wasn't just, you know, a great man, but he was so great, you know, an unbelievable man. Very good. And so I wrote about this piece, and I was thinking about, I think about often, that I don't know if you ever know, if you ever have this sense that people who are great or great leaders, one of the shortcomings that they have is they have an inability to see and appreciate the faults of other people. I once had a teacher like that, a Rebbe like that, and his mind was just the clearest mind I've ever seen in my life. And he just didn't understand that I would learn the same thing that he did, and I didn't understand it. And like, when you learned it, you don't remember it? No, that was like a month ago, and I don't, you know, I didn't remember it the next day. You know what I'm saying? But he had this, you know, and people who are great, in a sense, because of their greatness, what's that? Can't relate to people who are not as great as them. Now, is that a shortcoming in them that they can't relate? In a sense, it is. In a sense, it is. But in another sense, it's not. Because if they could relate, then they wouldn't be the great people that they are. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a condition of greatness to be so great that you have to sort of live in your ivory tower and think about, you know, interesting things. And yeah.
I think Am Yisrael needs both kinds of leaders. You, on one hand, you need the kind of leader who's going to give the rebuke and who's going to maybe stand for the unpopular way,
mm-hmm.
whatever, and say, even though this is not comfortable for you, this is what Hashem wants from you, and this is what you've got to do. And people are not going to all like him for it, and you're going to have the people who are going to rebel against him, the Korach and his men and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And his job isn't to appease everybody and to be everybody's friend and to make everybody agree with him. His job is to stand up for what's right and rebuke when necessary.
What about the other leader?
The other leader needs to be the Aaron, who's the grassroots person, who's spreading Torah, who's makaroving people, who's...
What's that? Correct. Absolutely.
And you need both kind of leaders, and you need them to be, those two leaders to be together with each other.
Mm-hmm. Now,
again, those two aren't opposing each other. It's the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashkiach, whatever. You need that combination.
Father and the mother?
Father and mother.
Right.
I don't know what
that
means. Oh, it doesn't matter who's who, but it doesn't matter who's who, I must say. It doesn't matter who's who. Right, but there is that notion of, and I think that we struggle with that. On the one hand, you know, being harsh and being having expectations and saying you're supposed to do this, and I'm, you know, not going to bring you your lunch today because I can't, you know, keep propping you up. And the other hand, but you're hungry. He's not going to have lunch. You know what I mean? What's going to eat? You know what I'm saying? And we struggle between those two extremes.
In a theoretical situation. With the two lunches.
Right. You know, and you have to sort of try to find that balance. I agree with you totally. And that might be what Hashem is saying. Now, there's another element to this whole equation that brings back the Egel as well. We remember, what's Moshe doing? Moshe is at the Egel, the Cheder Egel. Why is that part of Moshe? Like, Moshe was the leader. What about Aaron? Where was Aaron at the Egel? What's that?
He was the pacifier.
Aaron was the pacifier?
He tried to...
What's Aaron's role in the Cheder Egel?
He made it. Quite involved.
Aaron made the ego. It's not like he was like on the side, didn't know.
The bystander.
What?
He wasn't a bystander.
No, he was not a bystander. Now, turn to Kli Yakar. We read Kli Yakar last time. This is going to sort of tie it all together, I hope. Okay?
Where?
Kli Yakar is on Tafresh Ayin Zion, one couple of pages over. And turn to Kli Yakar right there. Okay, if you have a Kli Yakar. Do you have a Kli Yakar?
No.
Well, you get better Chumash then. Okay. That's true.
Okay.
See Kli Yakar on Aleph if you have it. Says a Kli Yakar. Hosif kan lashon ata. Okay. And the ata, it adds the ata. Lomar lecha to tell you. Shemitzad ma'aseh ha'egel nitrachek aharon. That because of the ma'aseh ha'egel, because of what happened to the egel, God was angry at Aharon. In fact, what?
So he didn't speak to Aaron directly. Because there are other times when Hashem commands Aaron directly.
Right.
And here he doesn't. He still tells Moshe to tell Aaron.
Correct. Tells Moshe to tell Aaron. I mean, and there are some Parshanim who say that Aaron was never totally forgiven for his role in the Maaseh HaEgel. Who says that? That Aaron's death was caused because of his role in the Egel? You don't remember? Like it's Mem Riva, but Aaron really didn't do anything. Okay, we'll look it up later. Okay. Umoshe kervo b'tfilato. And why did Hashem bring Moshe, bring Aaron? Because Moshe begged. K'moshe ne'amar, as it says later on, Ube'aharon anaf Hashem ma'od lehish lahashmido. God really said, I want to destroy Aharon too. Aharon was involved.
That's by the ego?
By the ego, but it's in Devarim. In Devarim. It's about the Pasuk. Va'at palel gam ba'ar ad Aharon ba'etahi. And Moshe says, at that time, I prayed for Aharon. It does not appear in Shemot, but it's clear something's going on. V'inyan tfilazu, and what is this prayer? Shetala Moshe be'atzmo le'mor. Moshe connected himself to Aharon le'mor. Halo achi u'b'sarihu. He's my brother. And if you destroy him, ki'ilu ne'achal chatzi b'sari k'derach shitpalel al Miriam. Meaning he says to God, Aaron, Moshe says to God, if you destroy him, you'll kill me. So please save Aaron. Okay? Nimsa sheba'avur shekirvo Moshe elav alkein nizkar b'zkut Moshe. That because Moshe brought him so close, so Aaron was picked because of Moshe. Even though Aaron was amongst the Jewish people when the ego was being worshipped. Why is it Be'ata? You bring Aaron? Why Moshe, you Be'ata? You saved him. You wanted him. You asked for him. You choose him. But then I ask you, what does that say about Aaron's dynamic as a Kohen?
It's like nepotism.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, that's definitely true.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So he continues and he says, why? So why was Aaron chosen? Because Moshe picked him. He says, the second reason, Bishchud v'nei Yisrael, the merit of the Jewish people, Shayut tzrichim lekohen kazeh oseh shalom. Maybe they're going like Aaron. I think that Aaron was chosen as the Kohen, not despite his role in the Egel HaZahav, but because of it. Right. Imagine you did something. What's your, you know, when you committed a sin, God forbid, you know, okay, we all speak Lashon Hara. Think of the worst thing you've ever done. Right. Now multiply that by like 20. Imagine it was like, you know, God forbid a person does something really, really terrible. You have to go to the Kohen. You have to confess your sin. And you have to bring a korban together with the Kohen in order to achieve kapara. How do you go to a person and confess your innermost, your darkest, most terrible thing?
When you know that he's
he can relate to you.
Correct.
Which is not a leader. How dare you did such a thing?
Correct.
Aaron is like, look, I have sinned. I'm great, but I understand that you sin, I have sinned.
In a way, it's even worse than that. It's better than that in a sense. You think that's bad? What?
Could he have done, so Aaron have done, like, a small sin? Not such a...
But he did it. So no, I'm saying, and even if you want to say, and the Midrash really tries to say that Aaron was trying to stall and whatever, you know, he has all the reasons in the world, like we all do. But he made the Egel HaZahav. You know, and he has to, and Aaron has to carry that with him as he goes and leads the Jewish people. He's the best choice to become the Kohen.
It's also the embodiment of Hashem's receptiveness to atonement.
Absolutely correct. He is the ideal person to accept to become the mechaper of the Jewish people. And so I'm going to tie it together, and then I'll read you just a very, very powerful.
What was his point? Why Moshe to begin with? Like, it made sense.
What do you mean? Why was Moshe to begin with?
Moshe couldn't have understood. Couldn't have been
so yeah, why would Hashem want to give it to Moshe in the first place? I think there are different, these are competing views. These are definitely
the other thing, right. Two different types of leaders.
I definitely agree with that, but I think they're competing views of what the Kahuna was all about. You know what I'm saying? I think that they are sort of exclusive, the different explanations. Yeah, this explanation, one would be what Moshe wanted to be the Kohen, and Aaron got it instead. Another, you know, Aaron was ideally always supposed to be the Kohen because of who he was. They're just competing visions of what the kahuna, of what the role of the Kohen was supposed to be.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like to be, like, I always saw the Kohanim as like a conduit to, like, bring the spirituality to serve God. But from what you're saying here, the Kohen was really, like, no pun intended, the shul rabbi. Go to him, discuss your problems. That's what it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
This explanation. In other
areas of the Chumash, the Kohen becomes the Shofet. Bata el Kohanim halavi'im vela Shofet asher yeh bayamim mahen.
Right.
So the Kohen had multiple roles. It's almost like what role do you want him to take? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, some of them are more like Moshe, and some of them must be Aaron. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Why would it have been Moshe in the first place? The answer is because why not Moshe? Isn't Moshe the best person? If the role of the Kohen would be to come before God and ask God for atonement on Yom Kippur, wouldn't you want your best person up there? Your most ideal representative?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to tell him my sins.
Okay. It's interesting that you note the role of, you know, and you can later on we'll see in the Chumash, there's that dual role of the Kohen. Is the Kohen the conduit between God and people, or between the people and God? You know what I'm saying? He wears both hats. Tamar, you want to say something before you...
If Aaron wasn't Moshe's brother, like, if I was one of the nation, like, he killed 6,000 people who were involved in the Egel.
Yeah.
Of course, if you made the Egel, you went to God and asked him to forgive. Like, if you look at it that way...
If he was any other guy...
Right.
Yeah. But he's not.
But you would say that Moshe didn't judge, not to say so, but that Moshe couldn't judge the situation fairly because he was his brother?
I would hope not.
What was his punishment?
Sort of like the Arab countries.
When his sister...
have two sons and they choose a king and then they kill the other four sons.
Right, not like that. When his sister gets sick, what does he do? Does he show favoritism?
Yeah.
Sure, it's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tries not to, but El Narafan Allah. You know, I hope not. Now that's the problem.
When
he
says the pasuk that you were talking about there, that's when he says it with Miriam, that you can't kill her, she's half of my flesh.
Yes, right. I mean, that's, you know, that there is, thankfully, at least Moshe still has a sister. I want to sort of finish it off and read from the Or HaChaim, because this is a very powerful, beautiful idea, and we'll bring it all together, this notion of the kahuna and Moshe's role. And what I think the Torah is trying to do is, in a sense, you're having this Mishkan. You know what I'm saying? We built the Mishkan. We're already halfway through Truma. And now before we do the Biktei Kehuna, we have to stop. And the Torah sort of sticks this like little piece in there of Yata and you in order to get us to stop and say, hey, what's the whole purpose of this whole Beit HaMikdash in the first place? What's the role of the Beit HaMikdash? What is the role of the Kohanim?
Is that why the Chetzi Egel is in the middle?
Yeah, isn't it interesting?
No.
Oh, clearly. Without a doubt, it's clearly in there. And isn't it interesting to note that this is not the only allusion to Chetzi Egel. Read the Rashis later on in the Parsha, as you'll see. There are other allusions. The Chetzi Egel is clearly hinted in the Vi'ata. So many Parshanim. We saw it in the Midrash. We saw it in the Balaturim. We saw it in the Kli Akar. We're going to see it in the Or HaChaim. Everyone said that the Chetzi Egel is sort of ingrained in the Bigdei Kehuna and who the Kohanim are. Why? Because their role is to help us sort of come back. Their role is to help us atone even before the sin. It's almost like the trufa, the medicine, is there before the machala. Right? And that's really, I think, why the Torah sort of puts it out of order. To help us understand that this role is there in order for us to connect. Let me read to you the Or HaChaim. If you have it, great. If not, that's also good. Zaz Or HaChaim on Pasuk Aleph in Parak Chav Chet. Okay? It says, why does it say V'yata? Same question. Ki akihuna lemoshe haita lemana.
What?
I'm on Taf Reish Ayin Vav on Chafchet Aleph. See it, third line? Ki akihuna.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Ki akihuna lemoshe haita lemana. Moshe really was supposed to be the Kohen again. Ela litzad shema'ein lalecha b'dvar Hashem. So he says, really, it goes back to that other thing we saw. He did not want to follow God. Kama pe'amim. Hashem says to him, go deliver the people. Moshe says, no. Chara Hashem bo. God got angry at him. Vehesiro migvirat akihuna. And took it away from him. The Omro, and he says, Halo Aaron achicha halevi, Aaron your brother, Piresh shehaya levi, v'achshav naseh kohen, laze amar lo b'shat ma'aseh, and that's why when the time came, v'ata, Pirush lo litzad she'ani mitzavcha levad, okay, and not because I'm commanding you alone, says, you have to go pick Aaron instead of you. Meaning it's like almost like adding insult to injury. It's not only that you were supposed to get it, not only, and you're not getting it now, not that I'm picking somebody else, what am I making you do? I'm making you appoint him. And you have to do it as if you want to give it to him. When in reality, what do you really want to do? You want nothing more than to become the Kohen yourself, but, sorry, you have to pick Aaron as if that's your choice. Kizel lecha bimkom korban lecha para. This is your korban. Why? Avasher he'azta panecha lifnei Hashem. God told you to do something, and you said no. So your kapara is going to be to take the thing you want the most
and give it
to your brother. Says Or HaChaim, unbelievable. Listen to what he says. Odir mos. Okay? There's an remez. Ki al yidei chet ha'adam, when a person sins, titrachek b'chinat anaf nishmato keneged oto anaf shebo chet mishorsho. When a person sins before God, a part of his soul is distanced from him. Right? I don't understand it either, but when a person commits a certain sin, God tells you to do something, and you say no, so a part of your soul, a part of that godliness that's within you, you've distanced it from yourself. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. Okay, and v'zeh b'sha'at tachlit ha'davar hodiyo ki b'zeh yiyeh mitkarev ha'rachok. He says, what does it say? V'ata ha'krev e'lecha. Bring close to you. The way you bring back the soul, part of your soul that you distanced, is by bringing about the kapara that you need. Is by undergoing the atonement that you require. That's how you bring back hakrev elecha. You bring yourself back to your closeness. That's what he says to Moshe. Okay, pirushi means, I'm skipping a little bit, v'bechinatcha shirechoka be'emsa'ut ha'chetahu. The same way the sin distanced the part of your soul that was in yourself, the way you bring it back is by having that atonement. Okay? And v'nitkaven Hashem b'hodiyo, and God was telling him, ki ze tikuno. This is his tikun. His repair. U'mize ani maskil al dvar sha'amuzal b'sof brachot. The rabbi said the following. You might have heard this. Chayav adam levarech al hara'a, kishem tum levarech al hatova. Person is commanded to bless on the bad, just like he's commanded to bless on the good. God forbid your shipment gets sent to Spain instead of to Ashdod. Right? So what are you supposed to say? Gamsu v'tova. Hashem's doing me a favor. I mean, don't get me wrong. We slept on the floor for a week. We didn't have to go through that kapara. Right? It's bad. It's annoying. It's frustrating.
Well, I think we did something worse than you.
What?
Me too.
What?
We went on strike for like 3 months.
I can't imagine. Oh my goodness gracious. You know, but to be able to say Gamzu v'tova, he says, look what he says. He says, v'hayadavar k'tzat be'inai rachok. He says, it was hard for me to understand. A very interesting comment of the Or HaChaim. And basically we can say, Yisurim he makrivim anfei haneshama shayu rechokim mishorashem. In some way, this affliction, maybe, you know, you are too connected to your stuff. And so what Hashem is telling you is, you can live without it. And that you see that lesson in that, and that part of your neshama that was sent away from you is brought back to you. And the struggle that we have is when we go through difficult things, to say, this is what Hashem is doing for me, that in this Yisurim that I'm having, in this struggle that I have, what Hashem is really doing for me is giving me this bracha of saying, I'm bringing you back to yourself. I'm giving you back the part of your neshama that you distance, the hakrev elecha. A very, very powerful, very, very beautiful idea. It's hard. It's something that to struggle with, but always something, maybe it brings about a sense of comfort when we go through difficult times. Okay, just to sum up and review, we began by noticing and pointing out in very, very stark terms that the beginning of the parsha is out of place. Okay, and we asked why in language, the language of Ve'ata instead of Vayidbar Hashem Moshe. We noticed Moshe was missing, and we discussed a number. We asked why is Moshe missing the whole parsha. We discussed a number of reasons. One, we said either because Aaron is Aaron's place, Moshe will put him out of context, but even more so because Moshe said, "Keep me out of your book." We noticed the idea of either Moshe being punished. We discussed the Ibn Ezra of Moshe's inability to become the Kohen. We talked about the notion of Moshe's lacking of Moshe's role, right, and his ability to become the Kohen and also become Moshe. We also saw the Kliyakar. Maybe Aaron was the person who needed to be the Kohen Gadol, and that's why Moshe had to bring him close because Moshe asked. And finally we saw the Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim's his last idea was, Moshe's sin and his atonement was bringing Aaron instead of himself. I also want to raise the following possibility. Think about the Chet HaEgel in and of itself. Perhaps the notion and the idea of Chet HaEgel, what was the essential problem? Why did the Chet HaEgel happen? What was the cause of the Chet HaEgel?
They felt they lost their connection to God.
Through?
Moshe.
Moshe. You can't have it all in one person. I mean, this is really a much deeper thing. But if Moshe would have been the Kohen, right, you can't have everything in one person. And what happened was, they thought Moshe was the Kohen. They thought Moshe was the Kohen, and he was the Navi, and he was the teacher. And when he was gone, now what? In essence, the problem of the Chet HaEgel was too much in one person. And so what's the answer to that problem? Make it somebody else. You have to have the leader, and you have to have the Kohen. And I think that that's something that's also worthwhile for us to remember as we study Parsha Tetzaveh. Okay, thank everybody. Okay. Oh yeah. So Wednesday is impossible because it's Susan Purim and all your kids are here. So we decided I'll send out an email. We're going to try to do Sunday morning for whoever can come. We'll do Sunday. We'll do Kikista. This Sunday only. Just this Sunday. And then after that, we'll go back to Wednesday. I'm going to dump it for now. Okay.
Dump it for now?
Nobody ever used to translate
so long.
Yeah, four. You're welcome to come. Okay, fine. Sunday morning, we'll say, same bat time, same bat channel. Okay. And then after that, following that, we're going to do a series of 3 weeks on the Haggadah. So please bring Haggadot. And it's good for me because, like, Akhil, Pekude, Bayikra, Tzav. You know what I'm saying?
You know, so next week on Sunday we start the Purim of Pesach for sessions.
Not on Sunday, Wednesday. Back to Wednesday.
Not 4 sessions on Sunday, but there will be 4.
Are there 4?
If you send 1 + 3, it would be 4.
Not sure if you can. If you're really going to get them in before the kids get off from school.
What do you mean?
There's
2 weeks until the kids are off?
Okay, so we're having on Sunday.
What?
And then we're meeting Wednesday.
April.
Pesach is like on a what day?
March 18th and March 25th.
Right. This is the first day of vacation for everyone other than our Gan. We have Gan.
Yeah, because that's the week before Pesach. So you have 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks
of Haggadah. You're right, it'll be 2. It'll only be 3.
April 1st, Wednesday.
So April 1st, we have no Gan.
No.
No, March 31st.
Am I recording this? Sorry. I'm still listening. I apologize.